about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
isn't
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. We tend to divide the world up into the people who believe as we do and then the idiots. And I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, the persistence of false beliefs.
I think we should probably take a minute to define what we're talking about today when we're talking about beliefs, right? And the way I'll choose to define it now is our conviction that something is true.
Now, or false.
Or false, right?
I mean, one of the things that we seem to be wired for is to believe things that we encounter without a lot of evidence for them. And there's a lot of good reasons to do that. I mean, if I'm just walking down the street and I see an event happen, I don't want to have some separate mechanism that goes, oh, and this set of beliefs is true. That would be expensive to have to do. So just encountering this situation is enough for me to just default to think this is true. The problem is that this is a system that developed in a world prior to the internet, prior to newspapers, prior to individuals who wanted to manipulate the information that you came into contact with. And in that era, say 50,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, most of what you encountered was probably true. As soon as there was communication, there was lying. So there was always some potential for falsehood, but it was pretty adaptive to just believe what you encountered. And when we learn something that turns out not to be true, it turns out that that information sticks around in your head for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that sort of facilitated the progress of the human species is that when we developed language, we could learn things from other people that we didn't have to experience ourselves, right? I mean, you could experience something and then tell me about it, and then I would know about it because you told me about it, right? Now, of course, there's a flaw in that system is that you might tell me something that's actually not accurate.
Well, you wouldn't. But someone
but
might.
One might. Yes, exactly. And actually, we might misinterpret some of the actual experiences we have and think that something is true when we're really misconstruing the experience that we just went through.
So in order to minimize the influence of information that you heard about that turns out to be false, not only do you have to specifically mark that information sort of in mental red pen, false, the other thing that you have to do is to have an explanation for why you got the false information to begin with. And so that you are reminded of that explanation later. So you find out some false thing, you then need to know, oh, actually, somebody told me this because they were trying to manipulate my behavior in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And without that extra explanation, there's lots of studies on this now, and they call this the continued influence effect. You get this continued influence of false beliefs unless you know why you heard the information that was false to begin with.
It's biologically expensive to change your mind. One of the reasons for science, right, is to fix that problem because we are very, very good at self-deception. We're very good at expecting to see something and then seeing what we expect to see and missing things that we don't expect to see. And so if you create a situation, artificial though it may be, and say, well, I'm going to not only set out a hypothesis here, I'm also going to explicitly state the rules for determining whether this hypothesis is true or not before I ever go about collecting any data. The whole point of that is to work against your human tendency to get what you want, right? Based on what you would like to see come about. And that's, I think, telling in that the way human knowledge has progressed is through a system that has actually been built to keep us from deceiving ourselves.
Yeah. And so there's a certain amount of faith that we have to put into the evidence that we have underlying our beliefs. And when those beliefs also hit at something that's core for us, then we are motivated to want to cling on to those. And that's actually one of the reasons why one of the really nice things about science is that it takes this natural human tendency to want to continue to believe what you believe and creates a set of criteria for you where if those criteria are met, you're going to have to give up your belief, mm-hmm. right? And so if you subscribe to science, then you have to actually accept that every once in a while you're actually going to be wrong and the world is going to prove you wrong, mm-hmm. no matter how eloquently you argue your way out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the mistakes that we make in thinking about our thinking is to imagine that factual ideas are devoid of emotional content. And that's actually almost always not the case, right? I mean, everything that we think has some emotional component to it as well. And so as we practice an idea and live with an idea for a long time, we actually develop a fondness for that idea. Mm-hmm. And the notion that you're going to give me only information, and by getting the information, I'm going to say, okay, I see I need to abandon this, ignores the fact that, wait a minute, I have an emotional attachment to this idea.
This is part of who I am. No, I think that's right. And so, you know, look, we are masters at motivated reasoning. And the fact is, the world is ambiguous. There are very few cases in the world in which we can state with absolute certainty, this is the way things work.
Yeah. But all of this has to do with the difference between the understandable comfort that comes with belief and the effort and little disequilibrium that comes with even a healthy degree of skepticism, right? I mean, in our culture, and certainly in I think in schools, including universities, I don't think we value students saying, I don't know. Now, if you just say, I don't know, and you stop, well, that's not a very productive thing. But if you say, I don't know, let me find out. That's a pretty healthy way to think.
Next week, with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll explore mental illness from the outside with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. Check out this and other episodes of Two Guys at KUT.org or in iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at @2GOYH. Also, email us anytime with your thoughts or questions at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.